I want to begin by thanking her for filling in on short notice and putting a presentation together on short notice, too, to fill in for Mr. Hooper. Penny Price has spent the last 15 years living and working in the developing world, and her field is emergency services. And she had the occasion, if you don't mind, to interview me about 2 weeks ago, picking my brain for the next, I think it's tier or something, of the next, something that's going to happen next year in this platform. At any rate, every time I gave her an example that I got from, and I got from articles that I've read and so on about in the developing world, her answer was, oh yeah, I live there. I live there for 2 years or 3 years. I speak the language. Her interest and focus is in creating sustainable change that are culturally appropriate.
Thank you very much. I'd like to apologize for Dr. Hooper, who's unable to be here. He was actually denied an exit permit from the country of Qatar. And I'd also like to thank the ILO for recognizing Qatar's efforts to improve the conditions of its workers. We had a technical failure this morning, so you'll have to excuse the very hastily put together, at the break, I might add, presentation in consultation with Dr. Hooper over the telephone. I'd like to give you some context first. Qatar is a very small nation. You can drive end-to-end in 2 hours, side-to-side in 1 hour. But it's extremely rich in oil and natural gas. Qatar Petroleum is the largest employer, the government arm of the petroleum wing. There's a population right now of 1.5 million, and to give you the context on how quickly the country is growing, when I first arrived in the country in 99, there was only about 600,000 people. So the country has had vast development over a very short period of time. There's some unusual population dynamics. 75% of the population are migrant workers. 75% of the population are males, usually unaccompanied males from South Asia and the Far East. Qatar Petroleum and its contractors look after about 250,000 people in about 4 locations around the country. The majority of the employees are contractor employed, and that's a very key concept to understand here. The contractors are responsible by law for housing, feeding, and basically maintaining safe working environments for their contractors and providing medical care. It's not being enforced, and therefore, for a large part, it's not being followed. There's large concentration of these workers, and the crowded conditions and previous poor sanitation conditions have contributed to a history of problems. This presentation is talking about one company's response to that, Qatar Petroleum. Previously, poor working and living conditions, safety conditions overburdened the healthcare system, of which I was a part. We saw incredible accidents that really shouldn't have happened. We saw migrant workers who should have had primary health care have to report to the emergency department to receive basic services. All of that contributed to riots, hostage taking, and although I don't have the figures, I would assume low productivity. What Qatar Petroleum does is use its contracting standards as a way of enforcing minimum standards on the people who work for them. They now have minimum standards for housing, nutrition, safety, as well as now requiring that all contractors use their medical services. But they've also taken it a step further, which is rather unusual in the Middle East context. They've also engaged the workers themselves. They're not calling it unionism or anything close to it, more of a participatory engagement. But what they've done is they've gone to the workers and asked, what is appropriate from you in your cultural context? What is it you want to make your living conditions better? The results in 3 years' time, since Dr. Hooper took place, and actually he is a major driver of improving the social determinants of health, there's been a 45% increase in costs, actually, mostly in the housing and food areas, but they've seen an increase in productivity of 60%, which is quite astounding. I don't have the dollar figure associated with that, unfortunately. It's a shame Dr. Hooper couldn't be here to talk more of that. They've also seen a decrease in lost time accidents, a decrease in hospitalizations, and interestingly, a decrease in the need for medical services because better living and nutrition has created to actual better health. From my perspective in the emergency services, we've had no more riots. Incidentally, one of my ambulance crews was taken hostage in a riot about 2 years ago. How did they do it? Well, first of all, they made healthcare free at point of contact. That was an inhibitory factor in workers not using the systems. Now, the contractors are responsible financially for any healthcare their workers use, and they are not allowed to go back to the workers and take it off of the wages. There's minimum food standards, and the diet has been decided in consultation with the workers. What's also interesting now is they are providing the food rather than giving the workers the money for food, because what they were finding in an attempt to increase their remittances and their savings, the workers were skimping on food. They would have a muffin and a Coke all day, whereas now there are canteens from which they are required to take their food. It's nutritionally balanced and appropriate to their cultural environments. Accommodation standards have gone from seeing 32 people in a room using of hot beds where one worker gets out, another worker gets in, to minimum standards. And unfortunately, there were pictures that accompanied the original presentation to show you the changes. They are much more humane and appropriate. Safety standards have improved on the job with definite improvements in the clothing, the protective clothing that is worn, and the safety training that the workers receive, and minimum sanitation standards have been enforced. Interesting, again, they've gone to the workers and they said, what can we do to make your accommodations and your living environment much more comfortable? And that's come back in the forms of cinemas where Indian movies can be shown, restaurants where the workers can buy, if they choose, their own food on their days off, and sports facilities, soccer and cricket areas. Another departure in an area of the world not known for participatory engagement is they've created worker elected mayors of each community, where they've actually had the workers themselves elect leaders to engage in the process. We use the term participatory engagement quite specifically because although there was a top-down enforcement of regulations through the contracting services standards, there was bottom-up mechanism in that the workers told Qatar Petroleum how they wanted to live and work. So in summary, the situation is not perfect, and it will take quite a while before it's improved on a consistent basis across the whole country. But Qatar Petroleum itself has committed to the improvement of living and working conditions for its workers and has seen a significant increase in productivity as a result of it. They've improved the social determinants of health and shown that it can improve the work environment and productivity. Thank you.